All right, leading us off tonight in the Fan Focus, it's going to be Ken and Anthony as they talk about Ryan Day and what this weekend means.
It's a destination job.
I don't even know. And I can't even name off the top of my head the ones who wouldn't even think about it. Like, maybe Sean McVay would go, thanks, but no thanks.
Well, I asked you, I said, like, Dan Lanning. Does Dan Lanning pick up the phone if Ohio State goes? Because Oregon has NIL money.
And you can get more money out of Oregon if you really wanted to if you were Dan Lanning.
Well, that's why he would take the
phone,
probably.
Which already makes a boatload of money. Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So you can make your situation that much better, or you could go, hey, you know what? Ohio State is Ohio State, and they're one of the programs where it's not on autopilot, but it's still really good. And
well,
I can tell
you,
it feels like autopilot. Scenario.
It feels like autopilot. You know why?
Why?
Because it's because look how many games Ryan Day has won, and we don't even really know if he's a great head coach.
No, that's
true. We don't really know. I mean, Nick can trot out the record all he wants. What would his record be if he was the head coach of Iowa, Ryan Day? What would be his record if he was at Northwestern? Come on. Yeah, we're being a little silly here.
He's saying he was born on third base?
It's halfway down. He was halfway down the bases. Come on.
Safety squeezing.
Right. Had a full head of steam.
Guys, I know it sounds like I'm beating up on Ryan Day, and I have a lot. I really have. From everything from the lack of toughness that the Ohio State Buckeyes have shown over the last handful of years to the hair color to, I mean, everything. Like, hey, you have a job that's stressful, your hair's that jet black? All right, that's cool. Like, those type of things have always bothered me. I've just never been a big Ryan Day fan. I ain't gonna lie to anybody.
Hey, it's a good point by Ken at the end there. Sometimes we just have to admit we don't believe a guy is an Ohio State guy, and so we don't like him as much. Now, think about Ryan Day. Is he a Boston guy? Or is he, I think he's from, like, Massachusetts or somewhere, right?
New Hampshire?
New Hampshire? Okay. Sure.
He definitely coached there and was quarterback there.
All right, but he's got good insight onto some nice lobster rolls, you know? Like, I mean, he's got a... Yeah. Sure.
The man knows seafood.
I bet he vacations in Nantucket, too. Like, he just doesn't seem like an Ohio State guy, you know? Like, just not in the slightest bit. And the fact that we watched him transform himself over the previous 5.5 years, the jet black hair, the not jet black hair, I'm going to do the salt and pepper thing. I don't know. What the hell's going on there? He just doesn't seem... Like Urban Meyer was an Ohio guy through and through. And I'm not saying this matters for being a head coach at Ohio State necessarily, but it definitely impacts whether or not somebody likes you in many respects. For sure it does. It just doesn't have that vibe to him. I don't know. Something's off. Something's always been off with Ryan Day. Not just the fact that he doesn't win in the big games. Just in general, there's always been something just a little off with Ryan Day. And I've never been able to 100% place it. Like, I don't trust him. No part of me trusts him. I don't love the idea that, yes, he was born on third base. I also don't love the idea that he was given a head coaching job like Ohio State, as premium as that job is, without ever being a head coach before. It feels like the type of job that you should have to prove yourself elsewhere before being an Ohio State head coach. Yeah, he was in the program. Yeah, he was the OC. I got all that. Wasn't the OC for like a decade, though. He was the OC for like a year. Like, I need to see more. I have no idea. He must be fantastic when it comes to impressing people in person, because he doesn't do it through the TV set, I'll tell you that much. All right, next up, Nick had a run-in with Mayor Bibb. Here we go.
All of a sudden, it's the mayor, and he's walking down this very slim aisle. And it took me a minute, again, old, decrepit, aging is not great, but it took me a minute, and we locked eyes. It was full Salt and Vinny's. Full Salt and Vinny's. Just two dudes looking into each other's eyes, not a care in the world. And I noticed that he knew who I was before I realized who he was. And I knew because there was a look of, I don't like you. And there was a look of, there was, you know that thing where you see somebody who you weren't expecting to see, who maybe you're not a fan of, and you almost have like a slow played step? You're walking in a specific stride, then you see them, and it's like a half beat extra in between steps? That happened. And so, immediately, I picked up the, I think he might have heard the things they've been saying about the good mayor. And my criticisms of him as a performative politician and less of an effective politician, although this is not a political statement, somehow. And immediately I grinned because I gotta be honest with you guys, knowing somebody doesn't like you, or maybe somebody is mad at you, or whatever, noticing that kind of brings me joy. Like, I love, when I'm out and about, I love seeing all of you guys. You guys are so respectful in front of my family. I appreciate that. But when I know somebody sees me, there's always like a like an extra like half beat of them looking like, is that fat ass from radio? Right? Is that the loud one? The other loud one? Or maybe the first loud one? Or the loudest one? However you classify me. And then there's like a smile like, oh, it's Nick. There's another way people react, though, about 10% of the time. And it is that mother you-know-what. And I do find a little too much enjoyment from it. That's what I got from the mayor today.
I've had nothing but good interactions with the mayor. I've seen the mayor multiple places, multiple times. I've had nothing but good interactions with the mayor. It's unfortunate we got a little bit of a brouhaha between Nick and the mayor. It's unfortunate. I kind of love the idea, though, of the mayor being like, I'm not going to give you that satisfaction. I know what you want, Nick Wilson. I'm not going to give you that satisfaction. I think the two of them would really enjoy each other's company, though. I really do. I believe that. Believe that a lot. All right, next up, Baskin and Dan on baseball rules. Here we go.
So I went through some of those rule changes because now's the time, right? World Series is over. We all want to sit here in the beginning and say, oh, I can't believe Major League Baseball changed that rule. They changed that rule. What were they doing? This is my game. And blah, blah, blah. And then, like, 3 weeks into it, we're all like, oh, all right, I get
it. Yeah, a lot of people got real grumpy about it. Now, it just seems normal.
I can't remember the last time somebody said anything to me about the pitch clock. Not once. No one says
anything. Pitch clock's
awesome. Oh, Hody did? You want to take credit for yourself? What?
I can't stand the pitch clock or the runner on second.
Okay, and like we said, runner on second during the regular season. And Brian made a good point. He's like, during the regular season, that's fine, but never in the playoffs. So I want to give you the opportunity to talk about some of these rule changes.
Sure. Let's go. Pitch clock is outstanding. I loved it when I saw it in the minors. It's been the same way in the playoffs here. It's even hit the point now where it took me half a second when I think Clay Holmes, I think it was, Luke Weaver, threw over for the third time in the World Series. And I was like, wait a minute. Oh, he's got to go. Like, you know, it was like one of those, in that moment, it finally hit me again that was one of the rules that were there. It's wonderful. These games are moving. They're consistent. I love the pitch clock. I absolutely love it.
I think baseball rules have been so successful that I feel like we're going to have other rules for other leagues be implemented quicker, because it just, when your fan base is telling you they need to see change and they're not enjoying the product, you have to act. And that's what's going on with the NBA right now. The NBA ratings for the first week were way down. I think the NBA right now has turned into such a three-point league, such a free-throw league. I think a lot of the teams are realizing how to actually do the math that's involved here. And it's not a good product. It is not helping at all. The NBA's got to adjust it. They got to make the rule changes. They got to do what baseball did. Baseball saved itself this past postseason in a big way. Basketball's got to do a lot of that too, or else they're gonna be in the same spot baseball was about a decade ago, where they're fighting for eyeballs after at one point being near the top. Never near football, but being near the top. Ken and Anthony discuss Joe Burrow. Here we go.
I looked at you guys because Kenny was way ahead of he's never liked Joe Burrow. Ever.
Nope.
Never. Oh,
let's hear
it. I'm not into celebrating something just to celebrate it, but like, what exactly? I don't know exactly what we're celebrating there. Just like dress up. I don't know. I'm not a big dress up guy. I've always been like anti dress code. Anti, like, if somebody tells me I gotta wear something, I don't want to wear that. That's just always how I've been. I don't know. I guess I'm a contrarian sometimes.
But a lot of yucks for a 3-5 football team.
Here you go.
A lot of yucks.
I'd like to do a champion's pose on all you Ohio State fans who wanted to root for Cincinnati in the Super Bowl a few years ago. Just let me do it again. Do you still want to claim him? That's a guy who, the guy wore a fur coat in pregame here. I don't like to dress up.
I am falling out of love with Joe Burrow very quickly.
There you go.
I looked at Owen, and I'm like, is he even that good anymore?
Thank you.
He sucks now.
And Owen, he beat your team.
He beats my team all the time.
He beat your team twice.
Yeah, he did.
He lost this year, though. 7-0.
Just feels like the luster has worn off.
Macaulay Culkin went as him for Halloween, which was nice.
That was good, yeah.
And in return, all Joe Burrow does is say, I'm not really a big Halloween guy.
I kind of like the take from Joe Burrow. I'm not a big Halloween guy either. Well, it's okay. You don't have to love every holiday, right? I liked it yesterday because my daughter had a lot of fun. I thought that was great, but you don't have to like every holiday. Halloween would be so badass if it just took place in June. That's kind of what we had yesterday. It was like 75. It was nice. Imagine if you had that, like the sun out until 9 o'clock so people could trick-or-treat in anything but complete darkness. I would have loved it. But I'm not a big dress-up guy either. Some people like costumes. I'm not a big costumes guy. Although I wish I was on the air yesterday because I would have loved to have dressed up and then do takes in ridiculous fashion. That would have been a lot of fun. I like when people do that. I do. I think that part is fun. But if I were to ever do that, and I will do that at some point, if I were to ever do that, it would be so out of character for me, and that's what I would love the most about it. All right, next up, Nick talks about a potential Myles Garrett trade as proposed by ESPN. Here we go.
The collection of assets you get for said elite players does not make up the body of work or the level of success or talent or impact that the elite player gave. So it's like, it's a great trade until you turn the 21st pick into like a fringe rotational defensive tackle. It's a great trade until you turn, we've turned him into a Greg Newsome. Like, okay, starting corner in the NFL, but not an elite corner. And so the concept, I understand, fundamentally, I understand the concept of value. But I would hate every second of this trade. I would. And it's not just, listen, it's. I get value, and I want to finish making this point before I get to the Miles part of this. Like, value doesn't, like, when I look at the, I'm like, man, I am so glad we got value for that guy. And everybody is trying to do the thing, and the smartest people in the room thing is now, well, you moved on from that player a year early, then you moved on a year late, right? That's been around the NFL forever, but now that value is, I mean, now that concept is at an all-time high. I think we need to get back to some common sense on, it's okay to let a guy play his whole career in one spot if by the end, he's maybe not as good as he was at his peak.
When does the drop-off of Myles Garrett start? That's the bet the Browns are going to try to have to kind of locate, right? When's the drop-off of Myles Garrett? When exactly does that start? It's going to be impossible to pinpoint the way that it's impossible to pinpoint any of those things when it comes to drop-offs. But I don't think it impacts the Browns in the slightest way. You keep Myles for as long as you need to keep Myles, and you just don't worry about it. The 27th draft pick for the next three drafts is not going to be anywhere close to the value that Myles Garrett offers on a year-in, year-out basis, and that is the fan focus. We come on back, we'll bring Jake in the mix, we'll go off the beaten path, we'll get to the Cavs game in about 25 minutes or so when that thing wraps up from the Fieldhouse. It's Overtime with Jonathan Peterlin here with you on The Fan.